Not working? Okay, so anyway, we have a few difficulties in the back with the sound system, but anyway, it's working now. Anyway, so Paul instituted these things with his fathers, with Timothy and Titus, and things that they needed to set in order. And so we've talked about some of those things about what to set in order in our lives. Now we're talking about things to set in order in the church, because remember, the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth, and we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. So today we're going to build upon that, and last week we talked about the importance of doctrinal preaching, and that when we need to focus on some doctrinal things. If you don't have teaching of the Word of God, if you don't hold true to what Jesus said, and if everyone just does what is right in their own minds, then the words that Jesus spoke, they're gonna fall by the wayside. And so we want to make sure that we continue on in good, solid, doctrinal teaching that is good and solid for us, that we can build our lives upon. And so today, we're going to talk about the things to set in order. Remember, Jesus said in His prayer, when He taught us to pray, He said we're to pray, "Thy kingdom come." We're to pray about the expansion of His kingdom, the expansion of His work on this earth, so that really heaven on earth is going to come. And that's what's going to happen when Jesus returns and sets on the throne of David and rules for 1,000 years. But you and I, we are to expand the work that Jesus established while He was here on this earth. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. If, again, remember, we talked about a couple of weeks ago how that Jesus built His church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so we understand that Jesus established a work on this earth. When He came, He didn't just have a bunch of people out there doing whatever they wanted to do, but He established His assembly to do the work that He gave it to do. And our main focus today is going to be on the commission that He gave that assembly. But we want to recognize that when we talked about Christ building His church and the gates of hell not prevailing against it, we recognize that all Christian religions can find the basis for what they're doing in the work that Jesus Christ accomplished while He was here on this earth. I mean, if you ask any Christian religion, any denomination that you want to go to, you would ask them, "Why are you doing what you're doing? Who are you following?" And every one of them would say, "Well, we're following Jesus." And so it's really not the fact that they are trying to follow Jesus and do the work that Jesus did. Everyone would say that. So, but what we understand is that Jesus established His assembly while He was here on this earth. You know, even if you would go back to the Catholic churches in 300 AD, when the Catholic Church was started by Constantine, what did he use to establish his Catholic Church? Well, he took churches that had deviated from the truth that Jesus had started, and he assembled them together and assembled the Catholic Church. What started it all was bishop rule. A bishop ruling over more than one church. Instead of each church being a local visible body of baptized believers, there would be bishop rule, where a bishop would want to rule over 4 or 5 churches. And then that has grown into the organization that the Catholic Church is today. So we understand, and we want to understand, that it's not so much that everyone can say, "Well, we're following Jesus." But it's that what Jesus built, the foundation that He built, and then how you build upon that foundation of what Jesus Christ started. Remember this, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build My church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So it is important that the church take heed to how they build upon the foundation that Jesus Christ established. It's important for Emmanuel to pay attention to how she has built upon the foundation that Jesus Christ started. And you might ask that question, how has Emmanuel built upon that foundation. So that's very important for us to think. It's not the fact that we can say, well, Jesus started the church. It is, what have we done with what Jesus Christ has started? Somewhere along the line, folks have deviated from the plan that Jesus started. And we want to make sure that we stay true to what Jesus started. And we do not deviate from what He established. And why is that important? Well, it's important for the maintaining of the purity of the work of Jesus Christ, and it's important for the maintaining of the purity of the doctrine that Jesus Christ started. Remember, the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And so Jesus started His church, He said, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so He said also, take heed how you build upon the foundation. He placed some in the church, first apostles, then teachers, and so forth. So we know Jesus called out His apostles, He started the church, and then He said, take heed how you build upon that foundation. So it's important for us to take heed on how we have built upon the foundation that Jesus Christ started. Now let's go to the book of Matthew in chapter number 28. And this is a common passage of Scripture. And we have preached on this topic often. But there's some things that we need to reestablish, something we need to reiterate, something that we need to keep as a basis and a foundation of what is being taught. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20 said, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus Christ... Let me start again because I had to look back at my PowerPoint. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So here we understand that the church which Jesus built was commissioned. Okay? He said, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and the earth. Go ye therefore. What's he saying? I have the authority, and I'm now giving you my authority to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go and teach all nations. I'm giving you my authority to do that. Remember, it was necessary for Jesus to go away. And Jesus said, if I go away, I'll send another comforter unto you. Think about the work that Jesus Christ has for this world. The message of salvation in Christ alone to the entire world. During the days of Jesus, how difficult would it be for one man to travel the entire world to share the gospel? It would be very difficult, wouldn't it? It would be impossible, virtually impossible for one man to do that. He called out his 12 apostles. At this point, there's 11 left. He called out his 11 apostles and he trained them and he taught them because he knew he wasn't going to be able to stay on this earth. He knew he was going to have to leave. He was going to have to die. He was going to have to suffer sin debt. And he was going to be raised again so we could truly have hope. So he knew that he wasn't going to be the one that would take the message to the entire world. So he called out his apostles and he trained them and he taught them what they needed to know about the work that He has called them to do. He commissioned them, which we're reading now, and He sent them, and He said, I want you to go and teach all nations. Go to the entire world. Still yet in the days of the apostles, that work would be very difficult for 11 men to do, wouldn't it? It would be very difficult for 11 men to reach the entire world. So what did they have to do? They had to expand that work, didn't they? They had to take what they had been taught by Jesus Christ and they had to teach others everything that they had learned. And those that they had taught were to take it and take it to the entire world. That's the commission that Jesus gave to His church. I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell not prevail against it. I give you authority to go and teach the things that you have learned to others so that others might know of Jesus, so others might know how to walk true to Jesus Christ. So that the world may hear the message of the glorious gospel of Jesus. That's the work that the church has been commissioned to do. That's the work that you and I are doing today as members of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. We are fulfilling this commission. We should be concerned about fulfilling that commission, by the way. Doing the work that Jesus Christ has given us to do. Now, it is significant here in this passage of Scripture that Matthew identifies that the 11 disciples went away. If it wasn't significant, it wouldn't be there. God doesn't put detail in the Scriptures for no reason. He said the 11 were there to establish for us, this is the 11 that Jesus called out. This is the 11 that Jesus taught. This is the 11 that experienced the ascension. But I want you to turn over to the book of Acts in chapter number 1. Hold your place there in Matthew 28. We'll come back eventually. But in Acts in chapter number 1, we're going to see that the 11 were there when Jesus ascended. You see, Matthew 28 and Acts chapter number 1, they're the same thing. Okay, Matthew 28 is talking about the time of the ascension. Acts chapter number 1 is talking about the time of the ascension. The book of Acts goes into more detail. Okay, you see Jesus speaking to them in verses 7 and 8. Verse number 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, also, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. Then they returned unto Jerusalem from the Mount Olivet, which is from Jerusalem about a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were coming to the upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James, these all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. I want you to notice, every Bible teacher will admit that when we get to the day of Pentecost, okay, which is going to happen in chapter number 2, what's going to happen at the end of chapter number 1? The church is going to assemble together and they're going to choose an apostle to replace Judas Iscariot. Okay, so the church is made up of 120 people in Acts chapter number 1. Okay, everyone will admit to that, and they cast the lots and they fall upon Matthias. So how do you get from 11 people at the beginning of Acts in chapter number 1 to 120 at the end of Acts chapter number 1? How much time do you think elapsed between verse number 12 and verse number 15? Well, you know it was less than 50 days because of the days of Pentecost. It's almost as if it happened immediately. There's 120 members in Acts chapter number 1 of the church, because the church is going to meet together, they're going to have a business meeting, and they're going to replace Matthias. How does that happen so quickly? Well, they were already assembled together. They were already meeting together. They just didn't have authority yet as a church. The 11 received the authority and they went back and said, now we're a church. We're going to assemble together and we're going to do the work that Jesus Christ has called us out to do. They didn't just all of a sudden have a great revival and 120 people were saved. No, they were already saved. They were already followers of Jesus Christ. They were just weren't part of the assembly, because the assembly only included the 11. So when the 11 went back to that group that was already assembled together, now the 11 are representatives of the church, and they assemble the group together, and they're the church now in Acts chapter number 1. The point I'm trying to get you to see is the fact that the church was built. It was built upon the foundation that Jesus Christ established, and it's now in working order. It's now active. And its first mission work is going to be done in Acts in chapter number 2. The 11 walked with Christ. They were to take what they had learned and to teach others. They are now taking it to the 120, and the 120 is going to take it and preach in Acts chapter number 2 on the day of Pentecost, and thousands are going to be saved on the day of Pentecost. You see the church beginning to build upon the work that Jesus had started and taking the authority that Jesus gave them and taking it and utilizing it and taking the gospel to the world. You see the church in action. So, as we go back to Matthew chapter number 28, we understand that it's important for us to apply the commission. It's important for us to understand that what was going on in Matthew 28 is Jesus Christ giving authority to the assembly that He said He was going to start in Matthew 16. It's also the one that He gave some power in Matthew 18. Okay? So Jesus started His church, His assembly. He called out the 11. He taught them, He trained them, and He gave them authority. Then when the 11 went back to the 120, that authority is now church authority, and the church now has that authority, and the church is going to utilize that authority to fulfill the commission that Jesus Christ gave it. Matthew 28. Authority transferred to the church. And that authority that Jesus gave the church in Matthew 28 continues on to this day. That authority has never gone out of existence. Now, it's very difficult to trace that authority physically from the days of Christ to today. But we know this, Jesus said, "The gates of hell will not prevail against my church." Here He said in Matthew 28, "And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." And so we know that what Jesus Christ started, the work that He started, it's going to continue until He returns. That's the promise that He made in Matthew chapter number 16. And so His work that He started while He walked upon this earth is still in existence today. Can you physically trace that? It would be difficult. But if I ask you this question, would you have any doubt that I'm the descendant of Adam? You would say, no. I'd say, well, prove it to me that I'm the descendant of Adam. Show me the paperwork that proves my genealogy is traced back to Adam. You'd say, man, that's foolish. That's never going to happen. You could never prove that. But how do you know that I'm a descendant of Adam? Well, look at you. You know, you're God made man in His own image, and so there you are. You're a man, just like Adam was. You can see by looking and see the attributes of a man, you can see that I'm a man, and so I'm a descendant of Adam. Well, it'd be very difficult to prove a physical connection by paperwork, even by word of mouth is difficult to prove that there's a connection between a church and the work that Jesus Christ started. But you can look at what the church is doing to see what Jesus Christ started. Is the church doing what Jesus Christ started? Is that group doing what Jesus Christ told it to do? And if you can look at the church and you can say, oh, I see in that church what Jesus Christ said to do, so it must be the church. Now, let me give you a little more historical information, okay? Let's look at some history. Yepje and Dermont, who were historians of the Dutch Reformed Church, here's what they had to say. The Baptists may be considered as the only Christian community that has stood since the days of the apostles, and as a Christian society has preserved pure the doctrine of the gospel through all ages. Isn't that the message I preached? What we're supposed to do as a church, be the pillar and the ground of the truth. The Baptists are the ones that have done that. Alexander Campbell, the founder of the Church of Christ, or the Christian Church, the Disciples of Christ, he opposed Baptists during the 19th century. Here's what he wrote. "The sentiments of Baptists and their practice of baptism from the apostolic age to present have a continued chain of advocates and public monuments of their existence in every century can be produced." Okay? John Clark Ribpath, who was a Methodist historian, said, I should not readily admit that there was a Baptist church as far back as AD 100, although without a doubt there were Baptist churches then, as all Christians were then Baptists. Mosheim, who was a Lutheran, had this to say: before the rise of Luther and Calvin, there lay secreted in almost all the countries of Europe persons who adhered tenaciously to the principles of the modern Dutch Baptist. The origin of Baptist is lost in the remote depths of antiquity. The first century was a history of Baptists. Listen, the Baptist church is the only church that can trace its teachings and history beyond the Catholic Church and into the days of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're to continue. We're to continue the work that Jesus Christ started in its purity. That's what we're to do. Now, let me make another comment here. Just because we can trace our history back to the days of Jesus doesn't make us right. It doesn't mean that what we're doing today is right. Because remember this, what was one of the problems with the Pharisees during the days of Jesus? What they had to say is, hey, listen, we're right with God because we have Abraham as our father, right? And Jesus said, no, you're of your father, the devil. Just because they could trace their lineage or their genealogy back to Abraham didn't make the Jews right, the Pharisees of the day. It was the practice that made them wrong. So just because we can trace our history back to the days of Jesus doesn't mean that we're right. The only thing that's going to make us right is where we practice the truth and we believe the truth and we put it into practice what Jesus Christ told us to do. Listen, if you don't do the very first thing, you can't say that you're right. If you're not going into all the world and teaching all nations, you have dropped the ball on the first point. Jesus said this, go ye in all the world and teach all nations. If we as a church are not going into all the world, if we're not concerned about the lost souls of people that are in this world, we have dropped the ball and we're not fulfilling the commission that Jesus Christ has started. And so therefore we can't say that we're doing what we ought to do. And we cannot even make a claim that we're the church that Jesus started if we're not putting into practice what He said to do. So we can't just go back and, oh, we can trace our chains back to the days of Christ. So what? If you're not doing what Jesus Christ told you to do, it doesn't matter what your genealogy is. And it starts with going. So we've got to understand the importance of, listen, the commission, how you build. Remember how we made this statement? How you build upon what Jesus started is what matters. How we as Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, how we build upon what Jesus started is what matters. It really doesn't matter how this assembly was started. If we drop the ball and we don't continue on, we can't make that claim that, hey, we're the church that Jesus built. Because we've dropped the ball. We're not doing what Jesus Christ told us to do. So we must understand the importance. Why is it so important? The reason it's so important is the church is to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. The church is to maintain the purity of the teachings of Jesus Christ. And if we drop the ball, then the purity of the teachings of Jesus Christ are forsaken. The work that Jesus Christ started is fallen if we don't maintain the purity. So it's important for us to understand that we are to keep the commission and to build upon the foundation that Jesus Christ started. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. We can never lose sight of the commandment to go. The church is to expand the work that Jesus Christ started to prepare this world for His kingdom to come. We must go. And if we don't go, we cease being what Jesus called us to be. We must be mission-minded. We must be concerned about the lost. We must be concerned about going. Again, remember this. Every assembly cannot reach all of the nations of the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, Jesus said. So because Jesus couldn't touch all the nations of the world, what did he do? He taught the 11. And then he commissioned the 11, and what did the 11 do? The 11 took it to the 120, and what did the 120 do? The 120 took it out of the world, and the 120, by the time you get to the end of Acts chapter number 2, is into the thousands. And those thousands, as they go, and they spread out across the world, what do they become? Thousands become 10,000s, and 10,000s become 100,000s, and 100,000s become millions. The work spreads around the world as what is taken, what is taught is taken and transferred to someone else and taught to someone else, and someone else takes what they've learned and take it to someone else. And that's what we as a church are supposed to do. How is the church of Jesus Christ going to be here when he returns? 2,000, listen, it's been 2,000 years. How is the work that he started going to continue on? As we as a church take what we have been taught and transfer it to others, and in others take it and transfer it to others, as we teach all nations, that's how the work of Jesus Christ is going to continue. That's why your part in this church is so important, because you are part of the preservation of the church, not only for today, but in future generations. If we do not continue on teaching the truths that Jesus Christ taught, eventually the truth is going to fall in the street, and the truth is going to be forsaken, and the work that Jesus Christ started will go out of existence. The only thing is, we know it's not going to, because Jesus promised us that it wouldn't go out of existence. So your part in this church is so important in the maintenance of the truth for future generations. Your part in this church is also important as you understand the importance of expanding the work that Jesus Christ started. The work that Jesus Christ starts with individuals, and individuals assembled together, and the assembly sending out people to do the work that Jesus Christ has started. Your part in maintaining the work that Jesus Christ started is so important. You cannot think that your work that you do inside the church is unimportant. You are so valuable as a member of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church in the maintenance of the truth and the expanding of the work that Jesus Christ started. You are a part of that work, and you need to understand how important you are in seeing that that work is accomplished. And that work is accomplished by us going and teaching all nations. There are some things that we need to teach. We need to teach the gospel in its purity. That's the foundational message. Why is the gospel in its purity the foundational message? Well, Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So the purity of the gospel is that the gospel comes by grace through faith, apart from works. If you add any type of works to the work of Jesus Christ, you're adding to the gospel. And we must maintain the purity of the preaching of the gospel, because there is no other way for people to be saved other than by grace through faith in the name of Jesus Christ. And we must make sure that we maintain that message. Remember, Paul told the church of Galatia, the churches of Galatia, I should say, in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. He says this, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach another gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed." Paul said, if anybody preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. We must maintain the purity of the gospel. It's the only way people can be saved. The church must stand for a pure gospel by grace, apart from works. It brings eternal salvation, and salvation is complete in Christ. That's what we must teach all nations. Listen, when he says teach all nations, that's what he's talking about. Spreading the gospel message. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. In Mark 16 he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's the one insane, the same commandment. The church is to go, and we must go and teach all nations. The next thing he says in Matthew chapter number 28, baptizing them. After the gospel is taught, baptism comes next. Notice in Acts chapter number 2, this is important for us. Is baptism before salvation or is baptism after salvation? Is baptism because of salvation or is baptism in order to become saved? Notice Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What happened? They received His word, they believed, they were saved, and then they were baptized. What is it? It's an answer of a clear conscience towards God. Baptism is important because it's an answer of a clear conscience towards God. It is a prerequisite to being added to the church. Notice, after they were baptized, then they were added to the church. Okay? The church is how God has chosen to expand His work, where He is glorified. Remember? Unto Him be glory in the church. What He started. Not what some man has started, but what Jesus Christ started. You're baptized. It's a prerequisite for you being added to the church. And when you're added to the church, you're added to the group that is to expand the work that Jesus Christ started. Again, the authority that is transferred to the church is given to us as an assembly so that we can go to do the work that Jesus Christ started. And the only way that you can be a part of that work that Jesus Christ started is believing the gospel, being baptized, and added to His assembly. But remember, it's in His church where He's going to be glorified. It's in His church that He established is how His work is going to be expanded to the world. Remember, it's to His church that He promised perpetuity. That's why you want to be a part of it. Listen, there are other things out there in this world. There are other organizations out there in this world, and they are full of good people, and they're doing good works. There is no doubt about that. But they're not what Jesus started. They are what some man has taken and they have put their own thoughts and their own ideas to it and added their feelings to it, and they're outdoing the work. They may preach the right gospel. They may be seeing souls saved. I'm not saying that what they're doing is wrong. I am saying it's not what Jesus started. I am saying it's not promised perpetuity like the work that Jesus Christ started is. That's why we want to be a part of what Jesus Christ is doing in this world, not what man is doing. And listen, I even want to go so far as to say, is just because we can trace history, I want to go back to this point, just because we can trace history back to the beginning doesn't mean that we're right. If we're not taking and doing what Jesus Christ has told us to do, we're ceasing to be what He called us to be, and so we're liable to fall out of existence. So you're going to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And then He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. So the next work of the church we need to understand is teaching them to observe. I mean, that's what we're doing here today. We're teaching you to observe what Jesus Christ commanded. That's what we should be doing in the future. Teaching people to observe what Jesus commanded. And I think this is important. What Jesus Christ commanded. This is a huge teaching here, and I'm going to try to summarize it very quickly because of time. What's the first and greatest commandment? The first and greatest commandment in Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. I'm not going to turn there, but you know they asked Jesus, what's the first and greatest commandment? He said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And a second is likened to it, to love your neighbor as yourself. So the first and second commandments, the first and greatest thing that you ought to do as a follower of Jesus Christ, and the thing that we ought to be teaching as a church, is teaching people to love the Lord with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, and all their strength, and to love their neighbor as themselves. The next thing, here's another commandment, John 13, 34 and 35. I'll turn there for you real quick. Notice, this is a commandment of Jesus. This is not a suggestion. This is a commandment. Jesus said, you've got to do this. John 13, 34, a new commandment I give unto you, Jesus said, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So what we ought to be teaching is that inside the assembly that we love one another. We're to love our enemies. We're to bless them that curse you. Do good to those that persecute you. Love one another. That's how people knows the difference of what is, about the people of Jesus Christ is how they love one another. And listen, that's a commandment. You can't go around hating. You can't go around being hateful. You are to love one another. That's a commandment of Jesus Christ. Third is to observe the Lord's Supper. Again, these are things that we need to be teaching as a church, people to observe. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verses 23 through 26. Jesus said this, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat." Isn't that a commandment? You do this. Take, eat. "This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes." Listen, it's a commandment for you to observe the Lord's Supper. If you're saved and a member of this church, you should observe the Lord's Supper. It's the Lord's commandment. But some of you are members of this church, and we have observed the Lord's Supper, and I've been here 20 years, and you've never been here for the observation of the Supper. But that's a commandment of Jesus. You need to observe it. We need to observe it as a church. A commandment to remember me. Fourthly, figuratively, Jesus told them to wash one another's feet. John chapter number 13. Verses 12 through 15. Just let me read it to you. "So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know you what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." What's he talking about there? Again, don't have time to get into it, but he's talking about, by love, serve one another. He said, "I've given you example." You're not supposed to literally wash one another's feet, but figuratively, you're supposed to be a servant to others. That's a commandment. Jesus says, "I want you to do this. I want you to serve others." That's the commandment of Jesus. Teaching them to observe all things. You be a servant to other people. That's a commandment. Fifthly, he gave us the Sermon on the Mount. I don't have time to read that. Go home and read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. The Sermon on the Mount. Those are commandments that Jesus Christ told us to do. Everything really in the New Testament is the commandment of Jesus Christ. It's why we focus on the New Testament, because we are focusing on the commandments of Jesus Christ. We must make sure as a church that we are teaching these things. We must make sure as individual members of the church that we are applying these things, because if we drop the ball on applying these things, if we do not observe these things that Jesus Christ has commanded us, we are falling short of what he has told us to do. We're not being the assembly that he told us to be if we're not doing these things that he called us to do. It's important for us to do that. Why? So that we can expand his church, so we can expand his kingdom, so that we can make sure that his work continues until the day that he returns. He didn't promise us perpetuity for us to sit back and do nothing. He only promised us perpetuity as we are out doing what he has called us to do and chosen us to do. And so we must make sure that we're putting these things into practice. We must make sure that we do not focus on teaching at the expense of application. You cannot walk in truth without the truth. But truth without application leads to death. Remember the importance of love. Love is very important. And if you have not love, what have you got? "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love or charity, I become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." Listen, if we can do everything right, but we don't have love in our hearts, it profits us zero. So we got to have love. Listen, in conclusion, I want you to think about this. These are all the teachings of Jesus Christ. The things that He told us to observe. That's what we're to do. If we want to expand the work that Jesus Christ started, here's how we do it. We do it in His church. We do it by going. We do it by baptizing. We do it by teaching to observe. But I want you to remember this. I want you to remember Jesus said, "Watch ye therefore." He said, "Be ye also ready, for the Son of Man cometh an hour when you think not." He said, "Occupy till I come." If you're going to be ready, if the church is going to do what it ought to be doing, it needs to be preparing for the Lord's return. And you as an individual need to be preparing for the Lord's return. Because it's ready to happen today. That trumpet could sound. And the rapture could take place today. Are you getting ready? What are you doing? How are you working inside the church to get ready for the Lord's return? How are you serving God and loving others to get ready for the Lord's return? There's going to be some that's going to be taken by surprise when the Lord returns. Because they're not even going to be thinking about it. They're not going to be working for the Lord. They're just going to be living life. And they're going to be taken by surprise. Don't let that be you. Get ready today for the Lord to return by doing His work. Watch, be ready, and occupy. Are you? Are you doing those things? Listen, today you may not be part of His church. You might understand that you need to be. You do that through baptism. That's the doorway. You can't get into the church unless you come in through baptism. So maybe you need to be baptized. Or maybe you're a part of the church, but you're not active and you're not being faithful. And so therefore you're not really preparing and being ready. Listen, today's the day to change that. Remember, called to expand His work. That's what you're called to do. Understand how important what you do inside this church, how important it is to the expansion of His work. It's what He's called us to do. It's why He started His church, so that when He returns in the clouds, His truth will still be being taught. His church will still be assembling together. It will still be going to all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature, because people see the need to expand His kingdom. Where? To all nations. Is there a group of people in this world today that has not yet heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Yes, there is. Then our work is not finished. And even if every people group, every nation had heard the gospel, would our work be finished? No. Because we have to prepare for future generations to come behind us. And if we don't maintain a solid foundation, then the truth is going to fall by the wayside. So we've got a huge work to do until Jesus returns. Let's make sure we're doing that. That is a very important truth, I guess, for the church to set in order, that we understand our commission and how important the work that we do is for our day and for the years to come. And you're part of that. So let's be an active part in the work that Jesus Christ is doing in this world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray and thank You for the truth that we find in Your Word. I pray, God, that as we are members of Your church, that we'll understand the importance of expanding Your work to the nations around the world today and to future generations. Lord, I pray that we won't drop the ball. Lord, I pray that we will continue on so that Your work can continue on. And Your elect from the four corners of the world will be drawn into Your fold. Just help us, dear Heavenly Father, today to be faithful to Your calling upon our lives. Help us to be faithful as members of Your church to do the work that You've called us to do. Help us understand what a great work it is, and what a blessing it is to be included in that work. Stir the hearts of Your people today, we pray. In the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's stay.